This morning's reading is from the Prophecy of the Universal Theocracy. The man felt the presence of Jamil. His spiritual consciousness became animated by the light of the image of God, and he heard a heavenly voice speaking to the soul of his being. The world labors under division. Each person believes reality is restricted to what is experienced and understood individually. This is not true reality. Nations view the world according to limited ideologies. They impress their laws upon their people, believing these laws to be just and right. This is not true law. Religions proclaim diverse theologies and beliefs, and their followers accept this diversity. This is not true religion. Personal, national, and religious views are in themselves diversified. This is the way of rational outlook, motivated by physical needs, intellectual reasoning, and emotional beliefs. All these views result in diversification, false ideologies, and incorrect beliefs. No person, nation, or religion can unify the world because of this diversity. Only God can unify the world, but first the world must be restored. Restoration comes by divine law. When all things are restored by law, then unity will exist. This unity is beyond human understanding. God's laws are understood only by the Spirit awakened by the light of the image and the Word. This is the truth. Who but the restored soul sees the need for unity? Spirit, unified with the Spirit, is made in the image of God's image. The Word manifesting within the light of the image and heard by the Spirit lives by the law and becomes a living soul unified with God. This is the way. The laws made by self or by nations or by religions under which one lives originate from the natural self and from the order observed. These laws are not of God, nor are they found in the light of the image and the Word. The divided self reasons and observes, yet lives outside the light of God's image and Word. The law which it perceives or acknowledges as good or right or just stems from the reasoning self, and therefore must lead to misfortune, sorrow, and suffering. All laws outside of God, not being of spirit, are born of the very nature sown in discord and disharmony. Though one try with all of one's might to be good, righteous, and just, though one seek peace above all things, though one strive to unify others in concord, whether family, friends, or peoples, the law of nature dictates that separation and independence dominate reason. Everything is set against collective order. Generated natural life outside of the created spirit is set apart. Each is different from the other. There is no accord or amity. All are rivals, for generation demands that the progeny consume the progenitor, the generated lifting off the generated. All ends in death. The spirit is created by God's light of image and word, and the soul lives by means of the manifesting light and the word uttered. This light is breath and life of soul. Once a spirit is a reborn soul, and that soul is nurtured by God's light, it is unified with God and under divine law. As long as that living soul holds to the way of the law, it has a separate life outside of the natural order and that of darkness. Having its own life, the soul exists by means of the image and the word of God. It reasons on divine things. It observes a divine world separate from the natural world. It sees the reasoning self as a friend, one who is doomed to die and is looked upon with loving kindness. But that reasoning material self, not identified with God nor part of his kingdom, is as strange as any animal of the world, something to be viewed for what it is, an aberration of generative powers, not of God. The life of the soul is unity under law. Unless the soul obey the law, it is not of God, and must therefore diversify as the rational being of man has diversified. This is the secret of the way. What rational mind can understand this doctrine? What self, nation, or religion can put away its own diversity and separation from the unity of the law? Not one is capable of it, for in following their own way or that of some rational law or false doctrine, they are as under a spell, enchanted by their own images which they adore. This was the original cause of man's fall into a diversity of images, becoming so many gods of heaven and of earth that reflect mind and dark spirit. They cling not to the hub of the wheel of the law, but grasp the spokes, and with the turning are flung first to the rim, then off into the spaciousness of time, unable to lay hold of the one central hub. The self of a man or a woman longs for immortality of spirit, for the body, being mortal, must die. Yet the immortal self craves breath and food by which to live. Like the mortal self, it requires nourishment. No man or woman knows the source of spiritual nourishment. Thus their true self never lives. The wise of olden times spoke of such a nourishment, by which the true self gained immortality. That true source is manifest as a divine song, uttered from the source of origination. An imperishable breath, a divine hymn, a heavenly word that sings to the soul in glorious light. And when the soul looks to the sun and sees the white light made for its eyes alone, it is quickened to life. It breathes and is one with God. The two eyes meet, the heavenly and the divine, and the music of the word is heard by the ears of the spirit. Soul meets with the source of soul. The soul returns to the hub of the rotating wheel. Time stops. Space is condensed to a point of merging with another world, and the soul is freed from its bondage. The Son of God ever shines. There is no rising, no setting. Darkness is illuminated. The breathing is motionless. The word is fixed. Life begins. Knowledge ceases. Yet all is known. The soul never thirsts or hungers. Its consciousness is good. Its form is light. Its being is righteous. Its intellect is just. These four quarters form the one under law. The non-existent lives in the sun, the golden one. Its food is fire, its breath light. The existent lives in the light, the light one. Its food is the image, its breath the word. The person that is seen in the sun, that is the light. The person that is seen in the light, that is the image. The person that is seen in the image, that is the word. A seed born in the sun spirit, a germ from the sun spirit, a source of being from being spirit, the cause of the three forms. This was known to the ancients who prided themselves in their knowledge. The unknown becomes the known, yet the known, which has become known, was never known before. The knowers are dead, the unknowers live. Breath, food, drink, heat, light, self, life. The golden seed of the sun, the diamond germ of the spirit, the being of the being. Light, image, word. The self covers itself with truth and is awakened. An egg of two substances impregnated by God. hatched and ascending heavenward. That which is revealed is to be known by the self. God has willed that the self know him. If the self is considerate and wills to know God's will, it will live. The inconsiderate perish. The considerate are empowered by the image and the word. Those who see eat. Those who hear eat. The image and the word are food. By eating, one is nourished and lives. Those who would dine at God's banquet table need practice virtue, grace, humility, courtesy, and decorum. God feeds not the ill-mannered. Good conduct assures a place at the table. Thus, the law is the essential of the considerate soul. For without the law, all things that have a beginning must end. The soul has no beginning and ever lives. To discover this truth is to recover what was lost. The divine was made mortal by the eating of useful, The divine was made mortal by the eating of useless life, and the self was divided. God offers the true food, which is the light of his image and the word of his being. The image is the seed of awakening. The word enters the spirit, and the soul is united with God. God has revealed the image of his being as a divine body, to be eaten by the spirits of departed souls. The light of the image is food. To eat of this food is to live. And God, the eaten, dies not, for the light is love, the image of goodness. To eat God is a divine act. The image is the firstborn of God, the sustainer of all creation. God's body, the true food given in the beginning as his breath, speaking the word, is given freely to all who would eat of it. All who eat must conform to the law. For unlike the eating of meat or the absorbing of sunlight, the eating of God's image and word is food for the soul, which once awakened unites the self. He who would eat of the divine and seek his own way and not the way is incapable of controlling the magnified powers unleashed within the spirit of being. Such eating brings death, for those outside the way are rebellious of spirit. If a person looks upon the sun's orb seeking long life of body, immortality of spirit, or control of creative powers, and seeks not the face of the Creator, that person has contaminated the food which was given as a sacrifice for one soul. God would not that his body be defiled or corrupted by the rebellious and selfish. God hides his countenance and withdraws his blessings from the rebellious, for to them the sun becomes a curse. God has sent his image and word into the universe to restore it to spirit. All matter and darkness are to be annihilated by God. The light of the sun is not the true light that enlightens the soul. It is the gateway to the true light, which is food of body and spirit for those holding to the way. The light of the sun is given as a gift to the righteous of spirit, and as food for nourishment of soul in returning to the One. God is seen in the sun, yet is not of the sun. Thus he endows the righteous with the image and the word, making them bright and glorious of soul. God is obtained by means of the image and word. No person attains God by any other means. Rite, ritual, prayer, sacrifice, faith, belief, saviors, gods, scriptures, all these are of the world and not of God. He who eats the sun inherits the universe. He who eats the image inherits immortality of soul. Thus, both worlds, the universes of being and of spiritual being are possessed. The righteous use the power of the Son for good, just as they use God's Son of righteousness for good. In this way, both heaven and earth benefit.